all the time, God's good. It's a little warm in here because the tank, we actually got it fixed, so now it's hot. But it's heated the whole room, so if we have to take the good with the bad. So if you're sweating a little bit today, just think it's going to be summer in about 14 weeks, something like that. Some of you are counting. No, soon, right? All right, have you got your outlines? If you're new to us this morning, glad that you're here. I'm Bob. Glad that you're here. Trust that you've come ready to experience God. I have an outline in your bulletin if you want to follow along with us today. We're actually doing a series called Forgiveness is a Difficult Choice. And so today we're going to talk about how can I forgive myself? So let me just see if I'm in the right group this morning. How many of you here this morning have ever done something wrong? Put up your hand. Some of you need to put both hands up. I know some of you. Absolutely. Then I'm in the right place. This February, I was had a privilege again of going to Orlando to be with my mentor, John Maxwell, and we had some great training together. But one of the things that he does, because he's a pastor at heart, is he'll have an early worship service that's totally voluntary. You know, you come on your own. There's 2,300 people there, and everyone shows up, and then some. And he preaches, talks about God. And I remember about 450 people stepped out to receive forgiveness and say yes to Jesus. It was a powerful moment. As I sat there watching hundreds move forward, my eyes were filled with tears, grateful for the power of the gospel and for the gift of forgiveness. It's so powerful, forgiveness. We talked about a little bit about that last week. How many of you here today feel like you'd like to experience a touch of God enabling you to look to the future with confidence? How many of you here today would want to know how to walk in freedom from your past? How many of you here today would like to see an example of someone who God used greatly despite his past? How many of you here today would like to know what the next step is to becoming all that God has planned for you and for your future? Let me ask you a question this morning. Who is the hardest person to forgive? Is it the person sitting next to you? Don't look at them. Look at me. No, everybody look. Did you see that? Everybody look. It's not a trick question. Who's the hardest person to forgive? Ourselves. Absolutely. As I've been working with people over 37 years now, some of the things that I've discovered about you and me are very interesting, and there's patterns. It happens in every church. There are lots of experiences. But let me just share with you some things that I've learned about me. Being raised in the church, most Christians, and I must include myself in this, struggled with four simple yet powerful truths. One, I had a difficult time loving myself. I was taught to deny myself, to forget myself, to negate my passions, to negate my desires. They weren't important. There's a common underlying lie that I believe that some of you here today listen to and believe just as much as I did. I had a difficult time loving myself. Secondly, I had a difficult time believing in myself. I was a sinner saved by grace. And when others would say to me, I believe in you, there's a little voice in my head that would say, oh, they're just saying that. But you really can't achieve much. And then thirdly, I had a difficult time investing in myself. You see, if I couldn't achieve much, then why would I even spend any money adding value to myself? You see, what I learned is that most people want everybody else to bet on them, but nobody to bet on themselves. Are you betting on yourselves today? Are you betting on yourself to win? Are you waiting for everybody else to do that for you? You see, do you want to know the irony? I could easily love you to dream big and to have you believe that God could do all kinds of things that you wanted to do. I could point to you and say, I believe in you. You can do it. In fact, I would coach you and I would help you make that happen. And I would encourage you to pay the price that you had to reach your dream. The problem was I didn't believe that about me. And the fourth thing that you might understand is that I had an inability to forgive myself. You know, after all, I was expected to live life losing more than winning. Everywhere I went in Christian circles, I had people who would point out to me the mistakes that I made. The things that I did or the things that I said that were out of line with their standards. And after a while, you just don't expect much from yourself. Reminds me of a conversation between Charlie Brown and his friend Linus. OCB says to Linus, "Don't take it too hard. I've done a lot of stupid things in my life too." You know what? Charlie Brown was a great theologian. He understood it. Friends, if you and I are going to live a life of victory and freedom, we need to realize this truth today. There are days when I just can't forgive myself. How about you? Which is bigger, your sins or your God? Which of your sins can God not forgive? Let me tell you two little stories. Working with some people, had a prayer partner of mine who years before he knew Jesus, had gotten in an accident and had to go on pain medications. And of course, he became addicted to the pain medications. And so he would go to work. And because he was in such pain, he would take these medications. And then he would get in the car and he would start to drive. And one day when he was driving home, he struck and killed a little girl. When he was under the influence of medication. And then he found Jesus, and Jesus took care of the sins in his life. But I'll tell you what, it was a very difficult day for him to be able to come to grips with the fact that he could forgive himself. Was it tragic? Absolutely, it was tragic. Was he sorry? Absolutely, he was sorry. But could God forgive him? The answer is yes. There was a student I knew who was bullied when he was in high school. And as he got out of high school, he was so bullied and he wanted to fit in and he wanted to be loved by everybody around him that he started to try drugs. The drugs ruined him. He ended up in jail, ruined his life, ruined his family. And in jail, he found Jesus. And when he got out of jail, it wasn't hard for him to believe that God had forgiven his sins. The hard thing for him to believe was that God would allow him to forgive himself. I don't know where you're at this morning. How do you forgive yourself? Should you forgive yourself? And why is forgiving oneself so necessary for us to live a healthy and viable Christian life? Neil Anderson, great author, wrote these words, "Because when you discover that you can't blame God for your problems, you blame yourself." And so we get into trouble. And the devil knows that if he can get you and I to believe that our sins are way beyond God's reach of grace, then he knows that we will bow out, we will quit the race, we will give up. We'll live a life of total, total failure and disappointment. Today I want you to walk away from the chains that have been around your neck if you will just accept the gift of forgiveness from your Father in heaven. Because he's here this morning to say, not only have I forgiven you of your sins, but I need you to forgive yourself. Because I know all about you and my grace is sufficient for you. On the top of your outline is a great verse. Let me read it to you. It's from Ezekiel. Ezekiel 33. "None of their past sins," talking about Israel, "will be brought up again. For they have done what is just and right, and they will surely live." They ask for forgiveness. Great verses. We need to understand that God doesn't remember our sins. I remember one of the first messages that I heard when I was first starting in ministry was from a lay person. His name was Bob. Of course, I couldn't forget that. And he was a shoe salesman. And I remember the title of his message, "When God Forgets." And I thought, nah, there's nothing God can forget. And then he brought me to the passage of Scripture where it says, when we ask God to forgive our sins, he remembers them no more. He doesn't remember them, but we do. So, if you have your Bible, I'm going to take you to a passage. I want to talk about a guy that had a hard time forgiving himself and what Jesus did to bring life and vitality to him. If you've got your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 26, please. Matthew chapter 26. I'm going to look at the person of Peter. And previous in this chapter, Jesus predicted that Peter would deny him. And you know how Peter just decided, no, Jesus, you don't know me. I'm going to stand with you right to the very end. And Peter goes, yeah, I know. I know, Peter. Let me read to you verses 69 of Matthew chapter 26. Now, Peter was sitting out in the courtyard. So what's happened is Jesus has been arrested. And now Peter's close by because he wants to know what's going on. He's sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. You also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said. But he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Denial number one. Then he went out into the gateway where another girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He again denied it with an oath. I don't know the man. And after a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, I do not know the man. And immediately the rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus spoken. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. See the picture? I want you to, when you look at this passage, I want you to remember that the first time that he denied Jesus was behind a fire. He was by a fire. It says there, right there, that he was by a fire. And little servant girl came up to him. I want you to remember that. How many of you can think of and remember the smell of a fire? Put up your hand. Oh, you're much better than the first service. They couldn't do it. Of course, I didn't explain it well, so they didn't know what I was talking about. So this wasn't their fault. But I want you to remember that, because here's what. God has gifted us in such an incredible way that we, with our memory, when we hear a song, we can go back to our teenage years. And for some of us, that was the last century. Just one century. For some of us, it was last week. God gives us these incredible senses. That for Peter, when he thought of denying Jesus, he could smell the smoke of the fire. Don't forget that, okay? Will you hang on to that? Will you tell your neighbor to remember that? Will you remember the fire? Remember the fire. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, remember the fire. Okay. So Peter weeps. He's blown it. He's denied his Savior. How does he recover? How do you recover when you fail miserably in life? It's a great question. It's a great question that all of us have to answer. So here's what I want you to look at. I want you to look at the difference between Peter and Judas. Remember, Judas is in the Good Friday story too. Judas betrays Jesus. He doesn't experience forgiveness and he takes his life. Peter experiences forgiveness and goes on to change the world. Let's talk about that. So how do we forgive ourselves? There's three things that's required if you're going to forgive yourself. As I read scripture, first of all, you need to accept God's forgiveness. Next Sunday, we're going to celebrate Easter. And I'm going to discuss with you the third part of our series called Finding Forgiveness. We've talked about how do I forgive others. Today we're going to talk about how do I forgive myself. And next Sunday we're going to talk about finding forgiveness. I want to give you the clue up front. I'm going to talk about the gospel. How do people find forgiveness on Easter? Very simple. But I want you to invite those friends of yours that need to experience God's forgiveness in their life. Just invite them to come. You just need to know that I'm going to talk about forgiveness, but I'm going to talk about them finding forgiveness in God. Are you okay with that? Will you pray for us and pray with us that Sunday will be great? Yes, Bob. Okay. Boy, you're coming up to the first service, but they're... You're still good. You okay? It's warm in here, isn't it? Oh, man. We could turn the heater off any time now. That's all right. Remember on the first Easter morning, when the women went to the tomb and it was open, Jesus was gone, and they encountered an angel that told them that Jesus was alive. But note what else the angel said. In your notes, Mark chapter 16, the angel said to the women, now go tell his disciples, including Peter. Now I want you to understand that there's not a detail out of whack in the scriptures. It's always there for a purpose. So why does the angel say, Peter, go make sure you tell Peter? If anything, Peter was, if you're like me or like you, we would be overcome with shame. We'd be disgusted. We would have guilt. We've known we've denied, and Jesus died, and now he's alive. Okay, but I'm part of the problem. For some reason, somebody wants to call me right now. Now go back here. The angel wanted Peter to know because he would have felt like an outcast. And we must embrace a significant truth about God's forgiveness. Here's what I want you to know. It's in your notes. Forgiveness is our problem, not God's. Underline that. It's not God's problem. He's taking care of it. What do we know about God's forgiveness? Five things. One, God forgives specifically. You know, it's easy for us to think about the general sins. It's the specific ones in our life that cause us guilt. God forgives, secondly, instantly. There is no begging with God. There is no begging with God. You don't have to beg God to forgive you. Unlike what sometimes I had to do with my mom when she was, you know, threatening to discipline me. Lord, you know, Mom, just forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. And what I was really was hoping is that she would forgive me and forget about what she was going to do to me. You know, she believed in spare the rod, spoil the child. See, I've so put that out of my head because I didn't want to believe it. Even when I called my mom this morning on the way, I call her every Saturday or Sunday morning on my way to church. And she said, you know, I think, Bob, I didn't spank you enough. She's 83 years old and she still thinks I haven't been spanked enough. I said, Mom, you did a great job. In fact, I think you did it too well. She said, well, if I would have done it better, you would have turned out better. That's another sermon all by itself. Thirdly, he forgives completely. There are no leftovers with God. He doesn't throw it back in your face. We do. Fourthly, God forgives repeatedly. There are no limits. There are no limits to God's forgiveness. There aren't. And lastly, God forgives freely. There is no cost to you. It's already been paid for. We're going to celebrate that on Good Friday. Philip Yancey said this statement, which is interesting. He said, God took a great risk by announcing forgiveness in advance, and the scandal of grace involves a transfer of that risk to us. Do you understand what he's saying? The fact that God says you're forgiven, then he says now it's up to you to live a life like you've been forgiven. Too many of us are still beating ourselves up for our sins. God's already removed them from us. It was our sins that held him there on that cross. Remember, definition of forgiveness is giving up my right to hurt you for hurting me. That's what God has done for you and for me. He gave up the right to hurt you and me for hurting him because Jesus paid it all. So the first thing we have to do is accept God's forgiveness. The second thing is that we have to change the way that we live. Unless you'd begin to change some of the destructive patterns in your life that are the source of your baggage and the source of your guilt and the source of your shame in your life, you will never be able to forgive yourself completely. You cannot change on your own. You need God's Spirit to transform your life. So let's go back to Peter. Jesus is alive. Peter's reeling from his failure. So what does Peter do when he failed Christ? He goes back to what his old life was. He goes fishing. Fishing was his old life. If you have your Bible, turn to John 21. In John 21, we read of the story where Jesus encounters Peter and the disciples. They've gone out fishing and they haven't caught anything during the night. And so Jesus says, throw it on the other side. And so they throw it on the other side. And of course they get this great catch. And then all of a sudden they understand that the person on the beach is Jesus. Let me read it for you. Verse 7, then the disciples that Jesus loved, meaning John, said to Peter, it's the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped it for work, jumped into the water and headed to the shore. And others stayed with the boat and pulled in the net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from the shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire, and some bread. Do you remember what I asked you to remember? Sometimes, in order for us to experience the complete forgiving of ourselves, God has to take us back to where we've denied him. Where did Peter deny Jesus? Around burning coals. Where does Jesus reinstate Peter? Around the fire. He replaces the smell of failure with the smell of reinstatement. His life was changed because he was obedient to God, and the Holy Spirit indwelled him, and he changed. We see a man who had no courage to stand up to a little girl. Then in the book of Acts, stand up on the temple on the day of Pentecost and preach courageously and boldly to the multitudes, and people responded. 3,000 came to know Christ in that one day. Acts chapter 4, the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scripture. Here's the good news. When God forgives you, when God enters your life, he gives you the power to see the power to remove those things and to replace those with positive patterns in your life. So a memory verse that I'd like you to look at for this week is Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Here's what it says. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. When God forgives you and begins to change your life, you're capable of forgiving yourself. So we talked about the first thing I need to do is accept God's forgiveness. The second thing I need to do is change the way that I live. And the third thing is I need to embrace a new future. Notice the way that Pete's life changed. Peter had to embrace a new life. For there's two things. One, before Peter's denial, when he was walking with Jesus, God instilled kingdom potential within him. Look at what it says. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Before the denial ever even happened, Jesus gave him the potential of being a kingdom builder and a kingdom changer. If we could just eliminate the memories of the pain of the past, what is God's plan for that? God does forgive the past, but we never erase it. And God has the ability to take our past and to use it for his glory. Have you ever asked yourself, how could God use me in this work? How can God use me in Fort Saskatchewan Lions? Look at my past. Look at the things that I've done, the failures that I've had. How can God use me? Look at the baggage. The things that hurt the most, when we let God redeem them for his glory, they can become very powerful tools. You see, look at after Peter's denial, God wanted to redeem his past, and he wants to redeem our past. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Each time he said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My power works best in weakness, for now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. God wants to turn your past into a powerful ministry. But Bob, you don't understand my situation. Remember, friend, when I started the message, I said I had difficulty loving myself, believing in myself, investing in myself, and forgiving myself. Listen closely. Each one of these four things exposed a lie that I was believing, and perhaps you've accepted it as truth, just like I had it accepted as truth. Here's the lie that I believed, and this was it, that I was unworthy to have all these things. I was unworthy to be loved. I was unworthy to believe in myself. I was unworthy to invest in myself. I was unworthy to forgive myself. You see, the enemy of your soul wants you to believe that you're not worthy and to become all that God has planned for your life and for my life. The enemy and some others like to hold up your past that leaves you paralyzed for today and tomorrow. You don't want to embrace the future. You see, nothing that you can do can limit the plans that God has for you as long as you're willing to turn to God and ask for forgiveness and be willing to forgive yourself. This is what I know. The scriptures are filled with people who change the world, right? Do you know that too? I mean, you believe that? Do you believe that? But I love it that the scriptures are so authentic. They tell us the good, the bad, and the ugly. And many of us turn to Hebrews chapter 11, that great hall of faith. And we look at those people and we go, man, I could never be in that list. Well, let me remind you of the big mistakes that they made in their life. Jacob, who's in this chapter, he was a liar and a cheater. And God changed his name to Israel, and he became the father of the 12 tribes. Moses was a murderer, and he had an anger problem, and yet God used him to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. David was an adulterer and a murderer, and yet God made him a man after his own heart and is known today as the greatest leader in Israel. Jonah ran away from God, and God brought him back and used him to change an entire city. Paul persecuted and murdered Christians, yet God used him to become one of the greatest evangelists and church planters ever known. And yes, Peter denied Jesus, but God used him to become the central figure in the founding of the first church, and we are here because of what Peter did. If God can use men and women to change the world, these men and women that I just talked about, then how about you? What's stopping you? What's stopping you from embracing everything that God wants for you? You see, all you have to do is receive God's forgiveness and forgive yourself and open yourself up to God's potential for your life. See, in order for you to experience the wall of fame in Hebrews chapter 11, what you have to understand is they all had to experience the wall of forgiveness. And when they forgave themselves and when they made themselves available to God and God was able to empower them and to use them and to equip them to make a difference in this world, the world changed. Is your name written on that wall? Today it can be. My favorite verse in Romans is, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. In fact, here's what I want you to do. I want you to be able today to put this little tool in your spiritual toolbox. Here's how you know the voice of God versus the voice of your enemy. Do you want to know this one? Okay, here we go. The voice of the enemy condemns you and accuses you and says you're not worthy, says you're not capable, says, why don't you give up? You'll never make a difference. You know why I know all that those voices? I've heard them. But the voice of the Holy Spirit is a voice of conviction and convincing. He convinces me that I need to ask for forgiveness. He convinces me that I need to walk holy. He convinces me that I need to forgive myself because he has something planned for me and for you. The enemy of your soul is an accuser of you. He wants you to bail out. He wants you to hang on to that baggage. He wants you to stay totally chained to your past. Because as long as he got you chained to your past, you're not free to live for God's future. Yeah, I had my own. It's okay, we'll wait till she gets out here. It's okay, it's important. I had my own fire experience this morning. In the first service, I had a chance to baptize Jen. I remember what it was like being in the water. You know what it took me back to? The last time I baptized somebody in the church that I had to leave because my life fell apart. And you know what's interesting about that? God's so funny. I'm at a meeting on Monday afternoon doing something that's totally outside of what we're doing here. It's my business life. And I'm in a meeting getting some training done. And I walk in and one of the men that's sitting at the table that I'm at was one of the last men that I baptized when I left that church. I could smell the smoke, folks. He introduced me as one of his mentors. My heart was stirred. This morning, being in the waters this morning, did you ever think that I would be baptizing people again? I never believed I could or would. I'm not just giving you this message because it's a message you needed to hear. It's a message that I need to hear all the time. Bob, I love you. I've gifted you. I've redeemed you. I've forgiven you. Friends, that's what I want you to experience today. Stop condemning yourself and stop listening to others condemn you. God's not condemning you. Stop living in bondage. And when you walk out of here today, after you take this little thing that I've got in your notes and you listen, you read this prayer and you just respond to it, I believe God's got an unlimited future for you. Let me read what's in your notes. Here's how you can respond very practically today. Lord, thank you for forgiving me. I realize that I've been carrying around the chains of past sins that have been already forgiven. I want to trust you with my past as well as my future. And today I receive and walk in your forgiveness for, and you put in whatever the accuser's been thrown in your ear. And say, as of today, it's gone. And throw a nail in it. And when the enemy comes back to it, go, no, 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 no. No, no. You don't get to throw this at me. It's taken care of. And smile and move forward. Will you pray with me? Worship team, would you come? I don't know what it is today that God's been speaking to you about. But if you're just like me, there's probably something right on the tip of your tongue that you know you need to ask God just to forgive and let go in your life. For some of you, maybe it's something as simple as this past week. For some, it may be as far back as when you were a teenager, when you were a young adult, and you messed up. I want to declare to you this morning, the Word of God tells you that when you confess with your mouth and that you ask for forgiveness for sin in your life, that God's Word declares that it's gone. Let yourself off the hook. Give it to him today. And surrender your life to him so that you can experience joy and peace and the thrill of watching him work in and through you as you walk in the power of the Spirit. Father, give us the courage. To face you by the fire. And to hear the words, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than the things that you're holding on to and not allowing yourself to be forgiven for? Or Peter just simply had to, Lord, just simply bow his knee to you and to accept the love and the grace that you were so marvelously kind enough to bring him back to that place of the fire so that he wouldn't have to go to another fire ever and remember his betrayal. But every fire he went to after that was a reminder of how much you loved him. Father, may each one of us experience your love and your grace today as we bow our knees to you. In Jesus' name, amen.